You.
Yeah, I'm at the door, bro. All
right, come to the side door.
All right, Ben. All right, let's wait.
This episode has been brought to you by Chop Shop, Part 2. It's not just a barbershop, it's also a salon.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie, like, barbers wop nowadays. Like you actually get paid good money nowadays.
Yeah, 50 a while. It used to be 10, 12.
And that's what I was about to say, bro. That's, I was hitting it $10, $15. You wasn't making shit. Right. You know what I mean? $35, $40, $50 a cut, bro. You doing them.
And then if you get booked all day, oh, I got my set money coming
exactly.
in.
And if you
don't come up, you better give me like a deposit on that.
Oh, they do.
Or I know, but that's what I do too. Like I miss a haircut with Rico. And I usually give him 50. Yeah, I just sent him 25 because I was like, I fucked up, bro. I got fucked up last night. I forgot about it. You took a shot of
tequila?
You took a shot of some Aruba shit.
Some
it was fucked up.
Aruba, man.
What?
Crown Royal?
Is Aruba and Jamaica the same thing?
Damn, chill,
Patron.
You're so cultured.
What?
No, that's all.
That's spit. That's spit.
Shut up.
That's Rico's spit.
Well,
I'm not drinking Rico's spit.
Bro, that's not. Hey, he wasn't even in.
You think motherfuckers be taking it like straight to the neck?
Niggas
like,
be.
No.
We haven't done that.
Literally, I swear to God. That's not one time.
I took my with the bottle to the head, bro.
Which one?
Is that Crown Apple?
You want Crown? You want Ciroc?
I'll take a shot of that.
That's what I was about to say.
Berry or the pineapple?
Berry, cuz. You know he's blooded up.
That berry is disgusting.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Fuck.
All right, just do the pineapple.
Or do you want that cheap ass?
Just do the pineapple.
I was thinking the same thing, bro.
that
berry is no.
That cheap ass vodka right back there. You don't want that shit.
What is that?
Nah, you don't give him that shit.
Should I brought motherfuckers?
Trying to kill me, bro.
We don't trust. That's like drinking that. What's that DMX drink?
That's what fiends buy when they want to get lit.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you remember after
I can
DMX
drop that
died?
Bottle if I fall. That thing will be intact. Yeah.
Owner two barbershops. Got the shoe jaw on deck. Got to be a dope boy to get them.
What's the store called? What's the store called?
Pressure.
Okay. Fire.
He got
fire.
Pressure. He got Chop Shop. Chop Shop 2.
Chop Shop 1. Chop Shop 2.
Okay.
And Harris Unlimited.
He's now worth
Actually, you know what's crazy? What's crazy is I hit him up. No. I hit him up and asked him about a little bit of work that I needed done to my house. And he said, yeah, I got some people that can, you know, do those certain kind of things. He's like, yeah, I got a whole company. I'm like, what do you mean company? I'm thinking that he has barbershops and then he has a shoe shop.
He said,
I got my LLCs as far as, you know, contracting and everything like that. Harris Unlimited. I'm like, what? He said, look it up.
Google me.
He said, look it up. Me. I was like, what? Looked real. Harris Unlimited, bro. Like, literally, this man's been grinding since we've been, came from the fucking mud, bro. From the absolute mud. Like, I'm super, this one is real personal to me. You know what I'm saying? Because we grew up together.
I mean, I barely know him, so.
Our families were so tied in to each other. And to see...
You got a family? I mean, I know he got one now, but like he came from?
Yeah, man. He came from a huge family, actually.
For real? Who's his pops?
Shit.
Marco.
Don't matter.
It got big, so big Marco. Quiet.
Yeah. His name Marco.
No, I'm just saying Big Marco. We're going to go with that. But literally, you know what I'm saying? From what he came from to where he is now is a true testament of just grinding. You know what I'm saying? And I'm proud of my brother. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go ahead and tap into this part. But, you know, love you, boy. You know what I'm saying? We had a good practice.
Too,
good basketball practice today. Yeah, Nobody was making no shots, but.
Yeah, it was Brick City, but we're going to fix that too.
Right.
Let's talk about that grind, bro. Because you always been a hustler of some sorts. I remember you and Mo back with the Pokemon days.
Yeah.
Even yo-yos. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I remember all that. What kind of. I don't want to say drives you, but like what separates you from
everybody else?
Because we all come from the mud.
Before that,
how did you start?
Yeah, exactly. The story from the mud.
Because you've been selling cars, cutting hair.
Before all that, before you felt like you had to grind, what was the story before you had to grind?
You want me to tell it?
Survival. I mean, I feel that a lot of like my motivation and a lot of my just dedication to my hustle, it comes from initially just using it to survive. You know what I mean? Just using it to get the bare minimum things that a lot of you guys just naturally had. You know what I mean? A lot of you guys just naturally had these things just given to you. I wasn't. So at a very young age, I just learned to try to accommodate the things I want in life by any means necessary. And eventually, Pokemon cards turned to paintball guns, turned mm-hmm. to cars, to now I'm selling six-figure houses multiple times throughout the year. I mean, it didn't start when I became an adult. It didn't start like, oh, you're 18, you got to fend for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, and me and my brothers, this just been our mindset since forever. You know what I mean? And then eventually.
Do you feel like you got that from your older brother?
No, I got that.
Did you see that drive? Like, did you see it? Was it something that you just grabbed yourself, or was it something that you saw? Like, did you see some hunger in somebody else? And
who was around you that influenced you?
That you were like, you know what? I want to go ahead and dive. You know what I'm saying? And get it like he's getting it.
Do you feel like it's something you can't explain?
No, if anything, I feel like it comes from pain. You know what I mean? Like my motivation, if anything, comes from pain. It comes from failing. It comes from, you know what I mean? Just you telling me I can't do something, I can't have something, then okay, I'm gonna find a way to get it. You know what I mean? You not believing in me, you doubting my plan. Like I never forget the day one night we went out Irish Pub, and I told Mo, you know what I mean? He was out with Mo. It was the first time I seen him in years, and I told him, I was like, "Yo, I'm about to be a barber," and he laughed at me. Mm-hmm. And he laughed at me.
He was like, taking that shit too personal. Yeah, that's yeah. Hilarious,
he laughed at me. He was like, "Bro, you don't be no fucking barber. Barbers is broke." Da 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 da. And I mean, he laughed at me. And I didn't take it as an insult. I mean, it's like, listen, this is just
motivation.
This is more reason for me to motivate. Another scenario. I mean, this dumb fuck. I bought a house. on Third Avenue one time.
No, I remember.
No, let's preface this. Whose truck was over there, backed up to the doorstep?
It was my bros.
Motherfucker.
I get you. But listen, man, I purchased my very first house ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To move my family into, and I needed to move shit out of it from like the current owner, and he was the only one who knew the truck. So I hit Job. I'm like, yo, I need you to come help me move this. So boom, you know, he comes right through. Comes through. We help him move in. As soon as he walks in, he walks
and
around.
And as soon as Job gets in, what's Job gonna do? He's going to Job.
He's
going to Job.
And he turns around, he looks at me, and he says, "What'd you pay for this?" And I was like, $30,000. He was like, "Ha, you got fucking beat." This is what he said right to my face. And he screams on me, laughs. He's like, "Why the fuck would you pay $30,000?"
Meanwhile, it was just me and him.
I agree though. It was just me and him at the audience. So, I mean, he just rips the idea that I just spent.
I'm like, man, they couldn't have gave this to shit to me.
Like, I just spent. You know what I mean? This is a dream house. At least my family's first house, not the final. But I purchased that house
with the apartment in the back.
And I mean, I lived in it for 6 years, and I sold it for $150,000. So
it's a great man.
A dream that. But not only that.
But whenever I came down there and I saw like how he was moving, working, he had the HVAC guy come in and had to put all his vents in. I'm like, all right, like I knew what he wanted to do, because whenever I was in there, I did say, I was like, this is a big ass house. Like this potential in this house is crazy. And then when I came there and he invited everybody down.
I remember when I first went in that crib, I'll never forget. So he shows me the whole crib. Then we get to the kitchen, right?
The backsplash?
So look, hold on. We get to the crib, right?
You ain't got like, no ovens like this?
He's like, check the backsplash out, man. This shit is dope as fuck. I look at the backsplash, it's crazy. He has an island where his stove is. The stove is where the island is.
Hit me with the same shit.
I look at the fucking backsplash, and I look down, and the backsplash is behind the stove. All the way to the ground, right? I'm like looking at him, I'm like, why the fuck did you put the backsplash all the way to the ground? Can't nobody see it. He said, because I can.
Sterile.
I'm talking about,
meanwhile, it was all the way to the ground.
It was literally all the way to the ground, like literally behind the thing, all the way to the ground. I look behind and I'm like, why? That's like a bunch of money. It's a bunch of money down there. that you just put down there for no reason.
Yeah, he got excited because I was like, man, this place really looks nice, man. This came together. What he was like, and I'm, because when you brought up like a month ago when you told me that, because when he was like this, he was like, man, I appreciate that, man, for real. And I was just like, why is he like, he does, stupid? Like, we knew you was remodeling the house to come live in here. Like, this is exactly what I thought you was doing. It just looks a lot better, you know what I mean? The final product. He was just, yeah, man, now I know why.
He set it up. He was like,
that motherfucker Joe.
But that's a huge thing going from the house with, you know, 60 plants on the porch.
Ferns everywhere.
To literally, like, I'm talking about where he grew up to where he came. It was a great thing. It was a great thing for sure. That was your first crib you bought.
Yeah, that was the first crib I purchased outright to keep. Yeah.
Now there's somebody,
not investment property.
There's somebody watching this right now that's like, I mean, I hear you say it comes from pain, but like the mental process of, because I see you take stuff and you like creatively find a way to make it valuable. How do you do that? Because I remember the Pokemon days for you. I remember the real estate. I remember the early barber days. You always were able to go from, This ain't no hobby. This ain't no none of that, to making it valuable and making it as successful as possible. Everything that you touch. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did you do that? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like as I said, it comes from, if anything, I could say the way I was raised was more or less like, I never had a father, you know what I mean? I never really had a parent, so more or less, I just had my brothers, you know what I mean? So not just my brothers that I just live with, you know what I mean? Siblings, people I went to school with. So I had to learn from other people, and I had to learn from my mistakes and other people's mistakes at a young age, you know what I mean? And that's what eventually those skills and those ways of, you know what I mean, taking salt and turning it to sugar eventually became taking houses and abandoned houses and turning them into, you know what I mean, somebody's dream home. So if anything, I could say it was the pressure that that just me and my brothers had that we went through. I mean, it was just, my mom's method is sink or swim. So at a very young age, we learned to swim. And eventually, you know what I mean, when other kids had life jackets on and other kids was getting carried around in a pool by their parents because they couldn't swim, we learned to swim. And at some point in age, you just start to swim towards things that you want. You start to swim towards goals. And I feel that I, at a very young age, just learned to swim, and I learned to swim towards shit that I wanted. And no matter what you give me, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to find a way to make it into what it is I want.
I knew Marco, just, you know what I'm saying, school and everything, coming up, you know what I mean? He was always y'all's age, but I didn't see him that often until we crossed into a different, you know what I mean, level. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, you know, runners going to run in, you know, whatever. So, but whenever I first noticed, he was like this. I remember him telling me, he's like, oh, he's getting his barber, like, he's cutting hair. Did you get up in, like, Pittsburgh or something like that?
Yeah. Yep,
okay, see what I'm saying? Yep. So then he was like this. He was like, he started cutting hair out the house. I remember we used to go to him all the time, right? Mm-hmm. We've been down with Marco for...
In New Brighton.
Yeah, yep. the big blue house.
My first house.
So, and then he was like this, oh, I need a space. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, like, whenever you start, so did you start gathering the money, put it together? Did you have to go to the bank to get them to front you for the space?
No, I had it.
Did you just rent it?
I had it.
You just...
Let's start at the spot up in Pittsburgh. What did you see up in Pittsburgh that made you say, yo, let me open my own joint versus just licking off of a chair?
I never intended to really own my own barbershop. That was never my intention. At that point in time,
presented itself.
Yeah, at that point in time, you could really only go to get a beauty degree, or you could take an apprentice under somebody who already has a barber license. And even to this day, barbershops don't really just give people apprenticeships. I mean, it's an easy way to just give somebody their license for no money, as opposed to somebody who's giving the state $15,000 to $20,000
to
learn how to get cut. So I can just put you under my wing for 9 months. You learn to cut. You go take your test. You're a licensed barber. You don't pay nothing. That is considered, like, barbershops don't naturally want to do that because it's a competition reasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't do that. So if they do, they try to make you sign like no compete contracts to where I'm gonna teach you how to be a barber, I'm gonna teach you how to be this, but then you gotta sign this contract to where you'll never work within 15 miles of one of my barber shops.
Right.
Or,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Damn.
You gotta
make sense though.
Yeah. I mean, from a business standpoint, it makes sense. You know what I mean?
It does, but that to me
is it's severe. So at that point in time, nobody would give me a chance. Nobody would give me an opportunity or an apprentice, and I wouldn't sign a no-compete contract. So I had to go to Mr. Sales up in Pittsburgh, which just happened to be God's plan, to be honest with you. I mean, just jumped on the internet one day and just found him. And
wasn't there a situation when you were barber, like you were cutting hair in East Liverpool?
No.
Wasn't East Liverpool?
East Liberty.
East Liberty.
Pittsburgh. Okay. Pittsburgh, East Liberty. That's what Johnson & Sales is. Okay. Yeah, it was East Liberty.
See, that's what I'm talking about, though. Like, what drove you to be like, you know what, let me Google this. You know what I'm saying?
I called every barbershop in
what
this area.
What made you do that, though? Because I feel like the average person
When did you start cutting hair? Like, when did you think that there was a route to go?
The average person has a skill, and they'd be like, oh, I want to do this, but they won't do that. You know what I'm saying?
It's
crazy because our whole lives, Marco's never been no artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's never been an artist, and cutting hair is an art.
He's the reason why I went bald.
It's an art.
It's literally an art.
It's an art.
But like, what made you say, oh, you know what? Let me dig.
I was working at Mitsubishi plant in Cranberry, and it was like a decent job. You know what I mean? It was like $15 an hour at the time, and like,
oh, that's
it,
great.
You know what I mean, it was decent.
Back then, was that for real?
Yeah, it had benefits. You know,
that's
what
back
I mean?
When minimum wage
was
like six.
That's an all right about
minimum
money.
Wage was $5.
Yeah, back then, I mean, we were making the parts to the Dallas Cowboys TV, like, you know, a big TV that's in the stadium. We helped make them parts for it. So I was working there. I had, you know what I mean, I had a decent job, and my daughter was young. She had to be like maybe two years old at the time, and it was just a decent job, you know what I mean? It was a way to make things.
Income.
Yeah, it was income, you know what I mean? But it didn't satisfy me and my appetite, and I just wanted to be a barber. I was like, man, I don't want to work for nobody. I want to be able to own my craft and just own myself, to where if somebody were to fire me or if a company wasn't going to give me a job, then it would hurt you to lose me more than it would hurt me to lose you.
So it was about getting to ownership.
Yes. Right. Okay. I had to own my craft.
See,
I had to own something.
Sense.
You know
so,
what I
so,
mean?
Right. So then you thought to yourself, okay, I want to cut hair. I need to own I need to go into a route of I'm working for me.
I needed to go into a route to where my background wouldn't.
So that's what you started asking people.
Wouldn't hinder me from.
So
from
Right. We're gonna let you finish, but I want y'all to first take that away. His initial mindset was ownership is making sure can't nobody take nothing away.
Who the fuck is you talking to?
We talking to the people,
right?
Thousands, millions of people listening. His first mindset was, if I go into ownership, can't nobody take it away. All right, so you went to Pittsburgh. You Googled. How you can?
No, he asked all the barbers around here.
I asked
if they would
everybody
do
around,
and everybody was like, "Nah, we're not really doing that
Mickey's,
right now."
Mickey's, you know what I mean? Everybody, any barber shop in the area, I asked. Nobody would give me a
position. Even the White Johns.
Yeah, they are.
That wasn't
nobody.
Even
They're
in
all
your
the
market.
White Johns.
No, Jackson. It was just Jackson and then what was the New Brighton folks? Clip joint,
and then you had Trent.
Well, no, Clip Joint was done.
Clip Joint had been
point,
down.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
None of them.
It was
wasn't a single shop in Beaver County that give me an apprenticeship. None, without a no compete clause. None. I called them all. So I reached out to Allegheny County, in which I want to say Craigslist. If I'm correctly, it was either Craigslist or some sort of wanted ad online. Mm-hmm. It asked for a barber. It was trying to hire a barber. And at the time, I didn't know how to cut hair. I only ever cut my little brother's hair. But he wanted a barber. So I called him up, and rather than all the times I was calling around Beaver County asking for an apprenticeship, like, hey, will you give me an apprentice? I never cut hair before. I called him up and I said, I am a barber. I said, I just don't have a license. I said, I know how to cut hair. I've been cutting hair for years. I just don't have a license.
Hey, yo, and sometimes you just got to lie your way in that.
But would you be willing
to
give me
too.
An apprenticeship if I come and work for you?
So that's how you hit him with, I'm already cutting hair.
I'm already cutting hair. I told him that.
Do you realize how crazy your story is?
No, but did he ask? But that makes sense, though. You called him, like, hey, you want a barber. I am a barber. I don't have my license, though. But I know you get
the denial. The denial from all the other barbershops in Beaver County telling me no.
So even if they give him that no-compete clause in Pittsburgh, it still doesn't reach all the way back home.
He never brought it up.
There's no threat to them.
He never brought it up at all.
He never brought it up.
Oh, for real?
So you just you ran into
you
a
never
real one. That's why you say it's God's plan.
It was God's plan. Because
you just ran into a real
ran
one.
Ran right into him.
That makes sense. All
right.
Damn. He's Mr. Sales. He was 92 years old.
And what year was this?
Man, this
should have went to Vito Sabone.
Man, I couldn't even tell you. Yeah, what you talking?
Bro, I don't know if you remember, but you told me a story about how when you worked up in the Berg, how there was two different barbers, and how one of them was like just grinding and cutting, and the other one was not only grinding and cutting, but he was taking his money, investing,
Mr. Moon,
building.
Shout out to Mr. Moon.
Like, tell us that story of those two different types of people. You know what I'm saying? How they influenced you.
Mr. Moon was like real laid back and real smooth, but like Mr. Moon, he never settled for just like one sort of income. He never settled for just I'm a barber. He never settled for I'm just a radiologist.
Mm-hmm.
He never settled for just like one position. He would make all them jobs work for him, as opposed to Ty. All he wanted to do was just be a barber. That's just
okay.
Because it was just so easy for him. It was so relaxed. Didn't have to get up early. You know what I mean? People.
Was Ty old?
They both was old.
They were both old.
Both old men. And then there was Mr. Sales, who was the one who gave me the chance, and he kind of spent his life on family. You know what I mean? Like,
so, Ty sounds like every old man in Beaver Falls.
That's what Ty really was. He was just a.
I'm good. I'm fine.
He's content. He's content.
Completely content with everything content. Going on.
I mean, he could take care of his kids.
Was that my lob?
He get his kids more money. He stays out of jail. He makes a certain amount of income, but he was just content, just floating.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mr. Sales, who really was the owner of it. He worked. He had a job. And then he ran the barbershop and worked when he could. So he had pretty much like a good 9 to 5. And then he owned the barbershop and maintained it.
Oh, so that was a supplemental income.
Yes, it was like a supplemental income. But you know what I mean? He spent all his money on kids. He had a lot of kids. And he made sure like he took care of his kids. All his kids had houses, cars. So,
yeah.
So it's almost like he spent his whole life with his wife, the same woman, you know what I mean? Married mm-hmm. his entire life. So he more or less lived like the family life, you know what I mean? He didn't pursue money his entire life. He didn't chase that dollar. He just made sure he had enough to take care of his family, be content, and drive his Cadillac. Right. You know what I mean? Drive his Cadillac.
Right.
This is what Mr. Sales needed. And then you had Mr. Moon, who, I mean, as an old man, he was
knowledgeable.
He was more knowledgeable about modern things than me. Like, he knew more about stocks than me. He knew more about like computers and tech and where the world were going in the future, and that's why you invest in this stock. Like, he was that type of guy. He was a guy that drove a Lexus, you know what I mean, and would park it out front and do 3 shaves a day. But he wasn't even there for the money or the haircuts. He was just there for the conversation, and these are his friends that he's cut for 40, 50 years, and he made more money yesterday just playing around with day stocks than anything today. So
right.
It almost was like 3 different people's lives, 3 different choices in life. And I feel like God put me there to choose, almost like a crossroads. You know
right.
All
right.
Yeah. Bro, when you told me that story, that shit changed my life.
Yeah.
That was like, that's like a rich dad, poor dad story. You know what I'm saying? Like, this rich dad, this poor dad, you know what I mean? So from there, you obviously chose, you know what I'm saying? His route. You know what I mean? Like go from there and where the story went from there.
I worked in New Brighton. I got fired. And then I decided to come across the bridge and open my own barbershop in my own town.
How'd you find that joint? Because you found the corner joint. Old age, right? You know what I'm saying?
I wanted the biggest sign on 7th Avenue. I mean,
I wanted the biggest sign.
To the point where...
That was the first joint.
That was my first one on the corner. I got the building. I finally got approved for it. And like, I sent in all the permits and everything.
Okay, real quick. You said you got the building. So you bought the building.
No, I leased my first barbershop. Okay. I leased the corner building so I could have a sign. At the time, it was owned by like a red coat company out of California. So I found the owner, contacted him.
I thought it was a hotel joint, was it?
It was. Hotel rooms were above it. But nothing above was it. In the hotels.
Okay. Yeah, right.
So I just I brought my business to the corner shop so I could take the sign, and like, I filled all the information and I sent it in, and they must not like have paid attention to like how big I planned on making that sign, because as soon as it went up,
it was like 2 hours after the sign went up, city came straight to my door and was like, you got to take it down.
No, that's not the problem. The problem was, and this is what I learned.
Hold on, I learned from you. Why?
It was like
a hazard or something.
What did they say? Zoning. The reason they said was that.
How could it be zoning if the sign was already there?
They said that the sign was grandfathered in, but it was grandfathered. That sign was that big for an entire apartment building. I took the sign and made it for one business.
Feel me?
So I kind of altered the
either way, the property is the property.
The property is the property. Right. So
you found a loophole.
Somebody called and complained. Oh, for sure. I mean, somebody didn't.
They don't even have to call the city buildings right there. The city manager, who's Mickey Jones,
right there. Imagine being in the police station and sleep, right?
they click the light on. They click the light on. You're like,
God damn, right?
I know this motherfucker ain't just put a shit up.
What's going on down the street?
So yeah, that was a lesson learned early, because I learned at that moment, okay, there's this zoning situation where you got to adhere to the laws and the regulations of what's going on in this area.
Yeah, but they let it ride. Shout out to Beaver Falls.
Even with the light City on, they cut. Let it ride?
Let it ride. Shout out to Beaver Falls.
And you was the only one cutting in there.
Yeah, I was the only one cutting.
And then
one of Carter's first cuts. Of his life.
When I opened my barbershop, there was 6 barbershops in Beaver Falls. There were 6 of them.
For real?
Yeah, there were 6 barbershops.
Where the fuck they at?
E.
Oh, wait, well, shout out to the feds. That's a come up.
Yeah, we don't really got no. There's 2 left.
Because didn't you went over to
Ruth Ann Cuts? Ruth Ann Cuts are regulars.
What?
Mm-hmm. Ruth Ann Cuts.
Right.
Yeah.
When he got jammed up, yeah. Then you got the front.
Ruth Ann Cuts are regulars.
My man Rome came and joined me. And you know what I mean? When Rome left, he came. Hey, Cot
was
cutting
over the other joint too, right?
Yeah. Cot. And then I went back and told him I wanted to buy his building and move my business down the street.
Moon, K Cot. Ty.
Down the Liberty. Hey, listen, and then he moved it to the most phenomenal shop you can really have, really around the area.
And then all the businesses is rocking. People's passing by there every day. It's right
there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Perfect area.
They can go to that with whatever. It's not Eckerd anymore, but whatever it's called. Like, it's like a one stop shop. Like, are we gonna go over here and parlay? You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get my hair cut on. You know what I'm saying? And then be like, you could just hang out.
It's a blessing.
One thing I want to talk about, like, so I don't even know this is even on the podcast. Like, what we want to talk about, I just wanted to ask you, being a barber, that was not your end-all, be-all goal, right?
No.
It wasn't your end-all, be-all goal. What was your motivation? What is still your motivation to keep growing past that? You know what I mean? Like, because that's a huge thing to me when I see you, like, you had a barbershop, which is a lot of... And why learn a craft and not make that
your everyday job?
Like, what are you chasing? What are you chasing beyond?
Generational wealth.
So what you had there was just a starting point to propel you to.
Well, he said earlier,
real estate to propel you to other shit that you got going on.
I quit chasing success for myself a long time ago. I mean, you get to a certain point to where I could get any car I personally wanted. You know what I mean? I could take a trip to anywhere in the country I personally wanted. But I'm not chasing things for myself no more. I'm chasing for my kids. I'm chasing for my grandkids. I'm chasing for the kids after them, because I don't ever want to leave them in a situation like mine. Mm. A quote that I heard that I live by, and it states that strong men create easy times, and weak men create easy times. I mean, hard times. Strong men create easy times, and weak men create hard times.
Strong men make easy times.
Yes.
Easy times make weak men.
Yes.
Weak men make hard times.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And what it simples down to is a guy says that his father walked 10 miles to work every single day. And his father walked 10 miles to work every single day. He walked 5 miles to work every single day.
His son drove a Cadillac to work every day. His son drove a Mercedes-Benz to work every day. His grandson drove a Lamborghini, and his great-great-grandson walked all over again. So it's almost like if you don't set your kids up to a point where, like, you know they're going to make mistakes, you know they're going to make errors, but if you don't put them in a situation where, like, they can recover, if you don't build them with the mindset, the same mindset you have, is hunger. You know what I mean? Like, I want my kids to remember I chased it, I went at it, I did everything possible, and hopefully some of that rubs off. I ain't saying all of it, you know what I mean? But hopefully some of that rubs off to where...
I mean, it's hard. It's hard for it to rub off when you're in such a great situation where they don't have to deal with none of the bullshit that you ever dealt with in your entire life.
But that's hard. Almost natural
because,
in life.
Because literally, it's a cycle. Carter, it's a cycle. Bro, we'll talk about it all day. Carter, he's never lived the lifestyle that I ever had to live. Carter's never had a bill shut off. Yep. Carter eats sushi once a week.
That sounds crazy.
And never will happen.
Literally.
I didn't know what sushi was until I was like 20.
Carter lives, you know what I'm saying? Like, Carter got 11 pairs of shoes right now.
That's wild.
Carter right was now. On a plane and ate sushi before I did.
Literally, my son's ate sushi's, been on planes flying around the country. Like, I take him everywhere. He's been to these certain kind of places. He lives no type of lifestyle that I've ever lived in my entire life. You know what I'm saying? So we've been blessed.
So we're those weak men that are going to make hard times?
No, we're the men who come from the hard times.
We're the men that come from the hard times.
That are going to create the easy times. Exactly. That might.
No, these are the easy times now. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So might mess around. We down there for
Kyle's wedding. Carter amongst the whole bullshit, having a good time with everybody. You know what I'm saying?
I forgot about
my
that.
Kid, I remember
my,
that.
My kids is going to always be a part of that. Like, literally, I took my son, like I said in the last pod, I took my son to go see a Van Gogh art show the other day.
That's thorough.
Literally, because you're not going to think that it's just nothing but sports all the time. You're going to go out here and see this art. All
right.
Just be a part of it. Just be a part of it. We're going to see it. You might not like it.
Let's hit the
side. But when you get older, you're going to feel it. You're going to understand it. You're going to know it. You know what I'm saying? I feel we've had bad times and we've grown from them a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're nowhere near where our parents.
Right, from where they came from. Like, my dad was crazy.
Even to how much we struggle.
Is that a testament to them?
No, that's what it is. Because they created easier times for you. You're trying to create easier times for your kid. Because you're like, people don't have to live like this.
Yeah.
Like, when you get older, you start realizing, like, oh, fuck that. Why is my water shutting off? It's some bullshit. You mean I thought you just got?
Bro, that's never happened in life.
But that's what I'm saying. But it doesn't matter.
It could never happen.
But you're conditioning
Imagine my son without him wanting to. Imagine my son. And this is me personally. This is not a shot to nobody else. Eating ramen noodles. Mm. Not happening, bro. So
the real question.
No.
I got ramen noodles at the crib right now.
No. No, that's just me. That's my one thing. That's my one thing. That ramen noodle thing that I just said, that's my one.
That's your punchline.
Let's talk about the quote, though.
That's my one feel. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my son to just go in here and just so he can shit in his belly.
And see, that's cool, but like...
Fuck that shit. He ain't just putting something in his belly.
I guess the question is to avoid the next generation who ended up walking again and bringing it back. Like, how do we as men who are kind of... we breaking generational cycles from finances and all of that. How do we make sure that our next generation still develops somewhat sort of a dog to want to dig, to want to grind, to want to grow, although they didn't suffer in the same way that we suffered? I'm saying, like, what can we do?
Make them work early. Like,
true.
Let them know that, like, okay, if you want
parenting is huge.
Stop coming to me for it. Go get your own bread.
Parenting is huge. Parenting is huge 100%. Like, you cannot give everything that you can possibly give to your kid.
Right. That's why I'm pussy.
You cannot do it. Like, him, me, I know he doesn't. He doesn't give his kids everything that they have.
You don't know.
You can't.
He got to answer that question for himself.
He can't. So I've talked to him about it a bunch of times, and he told me, I give my daughter everything.
Yeah.
I give my daughter everything.
Let's make sure she don't end up with it.
Yes.
No, so no, you got to, man. I mean, I never had sisters, and I never raised a daughter besides my
right, and
own,
daddy's little girl's a real thing.
Exactly. But, like, you give your daughter everything. You know what I mean? Everything. Everything, time, materialistic. You spoil them so that no other man could ever use that as a way to, you know what I mean? I give her everything. She, yeah, to manipulate her. I want to give my daughter everything she could possibly imagine, to where when she finds somebody, it would be somebody she likes. It's not because she likes for this reason, or she likes for this, or you impressed her with this.
And raise her expectations. So it's like, yes, when she gets older, she's like, oh, I'm not going to this state school. Mm. I'm going to a university.
Exactly.
Because I got what I needed. I did what I was supposed to do.
Exactly.
This is my jump.
No, I agree.
I don't need a ride in your car.
Yeah, because
Daddy bought me my own.
Daddy bought me my own car.
I was mad.
Got my own car.
I'm good.
I don't need to chill at your house.
I was mad that my 2-year-old daughter let me manipulate her today. I needed her to take some ibuprofen because she's teething. And I said, and she said, oh, let me get that. I was like, okay, you know what? The fuck you let me fucking manipulate. I was pissed that she let me manipulate it.
Take it to too
right,
far.
Right, have it. It's
like, I need you to take the medicine, but damn, I'm thinking of the young
You're
boy.
You supposed to ask why.
Who gonna do this?
Ask,
you know,
why,
what
is it? Something. You know what I'm saying?
Like, nah, like we gotta fix this. You can't be you can't be easily.
So it's hard.
So you're the same old
literally,
bird.
When it comes to having kids,
levels.
It's so when you're I hate saying the kind of shit on the pod.
Go ahead.
When you're doing better than what your parents were doing.
When you broke generational curses.
Yeah. Oh, that's a better way
when
to say
when you're aspiring
it.
To.
When you're doing better than, yeah, when you're aspiring to do better than your parents and breaking general curses.
Generational.
That's what I said, generational.
You get it? They know you. They know we drink. Go ahead.
You said general. Said general curses, and I was like,
general? General curses?
Edit.
Yeah, edit. Yeah. Cut that out.
Let's start go. It over.
No, literally, I feel like.
I looked
at your face. I looked at your face.
I couldn't hold it back. I almost got him. I was like, this motherfucker. Listen, man, go ahead. When you're aspiring to do better than what your parents did, you're breaking generational curses. You see the future that your parents didn't see.
The Nunnians, you still know what, like, Jackie Chan and, like, other, like, Chinese people have planned.
Do you read?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to read, bro.
Hold on, tell me. Like, I know you read now.
Yeah, you have to read.
Oh, shit.
This motherfucker.
I didn't realize it until just now, like having your conversations with you right now. You read.
Yeah, you have to read, bro. I mean, you don't read, you don't get smarter. You gotta continue to learn.
It's a bustle.
They give away.
What do you do audiobooks, or do you like read the actual?
It's really just articles and like right now I'm real big on like where what am I reading from? Like, where is this information coming from?
I need
from?
To trust my
yeah myself, exactly
because people always try to spin you somewhere.
Thank you,
and they'd be
bro.
Like this because you read something, it'll be like this. I'm like, why are they using these trigger words?
Exactly.
Why are they trying to? Because you exactly. see it on like Yahoo
You're,
or whatever.
So I,
that's
I,
good.
It's almost like not conspiracy theory, but it's like I really dig into like people. But like Chinese people and like people over there, like they don't give their kids their inheritance, and not even that. Like even some people in like the United States, like when they pass away, they'll give their kid like Jackie Chan. He's gonna give his son like 10% of his total earnings.
I read this.
So 90% of his total earnings is going to charity. You see what I'm saying? It's going to charities, and his son is only getting 10%. And the reason why is because he doesn't want to leave his son with a crutch.
Right.
You know what I mean? To where he doesn't feel the urge to get up every day and go to work and be the best man he can and to chase and to continue to grow. So he purposely is starving them. And some people like disagree with it completely. Like, why would you give that to your son? And
they're
this is his mindset. It's in his will.
They're probably broke. If they feel that way, they're probably broke.
Oh, you
if
know
you look
funny?
Into it, a lot of people over there, that's what they do.
And if you want to look into America or just the richest people around the world. You know what they are? They're inherited wealth.
Yes. That's scary.
Yes.
So for them
that
doing
situation,
that, I get it. But at the same time, the people that are running
that situation is scary
worlds,
though. That situation is scary though. Like,
there's a
would you not want to die and just
It depends.
Give your kid everything and just pray that they do everything. Like, pray you were a good father.
But if you have a certain
pray you were a good father.
You'd rather bet on the fact that you raise your kid, right?
But, hold on.
Yeah. I'd rather bet on I told Carter and I preached to him what he needs to do and how he needs to be as a man. I want to be able to give this to you. I don't want to put you in a situation where I give you a certain kind of money and then now I'm dead and my son can't move how he needs to be able to move.
I agree.
In my mind,
right? Because once they have access to everything, then they want excess of everything.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like I've taught enough things.
I just barred.
I feel like I've taught enough things.
Barred.
To be able to.
It was a bar.
You know what I'm saying? Like your daughter. Like, I feel like you've taught her enough things to where if anything happened to you, you can leave her with an inheritance to where she can be able to
take care of herself.
Take care of herself, you know, tackle like everything.
Absolutely. That's the plan.
Do you have conversations with your kids every week?
About what?
About life.
Every day.
No.
Every day.
So what I mean about life, so I had the conversations about life all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, just basically, like, how you doing? Like, how was your day? But do you set apart time to reach to your kids to tell them about things they need to be doing? I do it once a week. Once a week is my thing.
I do it like, every chance I get.
Okay.
I mean, I do it in car rides. I do it at the crib. Like, yeah, I do it constantly throughout the day because you got to catch it then. You got to show them then like how you're to like, supply hey, to life.
That's all you got
to
do.
You know what I mean? And not only that, there's school and there's education and then there's just life. Like, there's some things about life you just got to teach your kids that are about life. They're never going to learn it in a textbook. They're never going to learn it in a classroom. There's some things you just have to teach them and show them, and that comes from experiences. That comes from this just happened. This is how you should react.
Right.
And if you don't react like this, then look, this is going to continue to happen until you do this. And then guess what they do? And it's like, see, I told you. Like,
right.
And it's almost like that's every day. There is no once a week, sit down, let's just talk about this. It's every single chance I get, this is what we're doing.
Man, appreciate you coming, man. The advice, your experience, your story, everything, man, who you are, man. I appreciate you. You're an example for the young bucks who want to go from nothing to eating, you know what I mean? Breaking generational curses. Like, I truly appreciate you. I know we the same age, but you're always someone who anytime I need some... Yo, Cub, what's up? You know somebody?
Yeah, he's been walking constantly. He's been walking through the fire ahead of people for a while. So it's like he's going to be the one that's like,
right.
You know what I mean? The mentor, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. Everybody's got to reach back a little bit.
And you ain't never held back no info. You know what I'm saying?
Never.
It's always been like, yo, bro, here. You know what I'm saying? Straight to the point, too. Ain't never been no sugarcoating. It's always been, nah, bro, this is my opinion. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that personally and as a community. They might not know it, but the community, you know what I'm saying, appreciates it. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate it, bro.
So, all right, cool.
I mean, literally. It's real. That's real. That's real.
Give me flowers.
Huge thing for appreciate me is it. Like, I don't care what no adult says. Man, the kids love him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I love them.
It's because he's showing up, though. It's just
that's like, literally. Like, he's showing up. Something. He's showing up constantly for these kids. And not on a coaching aspect. He's showing up for these kids. He's feeding these kids. He's taking these kids home. Because, like, as a coach, that's what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? I've known that since I've been coaching, since Carter's been 4 or 5 years old. I got to take kids home. I got to pay for kids to get some food at night. You know what I'm saying? He does the same exact thing.
Yeah, but there were always people that did that in our life, too.
100%.
Shout out to Los.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. There was always that one person that was like, I need to do this because this is what I know now.
That's real life.
And we know how much that means. No food.
No, that's real life.
Still don't.
I
Keenan got to catch a shot too. Fuck him.
No, but real life. We've all had those certain kind of coaches.
Last time I seen Cal, he was meal prepper. He put like a picture of like meal prepper stuff. It's like you say that, like, damn.
Fuck him. You know what I mean? Fuck him.
I just seen this nigga meal prepping.
We've all had those coaches. I had little league coaches that live a couple blocks away from my house. I can go down to
the chips fucking with your sinuses.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, them is fire.
Fire, actually.
Yeah, them bitches fire.
It's them hers.
Go ahead.
I need something.
Crazy.
Bro, they're fire.
These bitches is unreal.
Yeah, them is definitely top tier boys right there.
What up? Let's take these photos.
No, we good.